Last week we ended with verse 10, 11, and 12, when it says, "All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." Then verse 11 says, "They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about," they meaning all nations, identified in verse 10, "but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them, they compassed me about." Look at this description, like bees, like bees. Have you ever, whether you were mowing a lawn and you got into a nest of ground, you know, bees, and they started swarming, or whether you went into a bush and didn't know it and there were bees? We have a friend who had bees in their house, and it was in their mudroom coming into the back of the house that she got stung by three or four bees and ended up in the hospital, now has to carry an EpiPen. They had somebody come to remove them, and he said, "I think I got about 80,000 bees, but I'm not sure I got the queen." And I don't know if it was he that came back again. We do know that they had a fumigator there, and they did fumigate at least once, maybe twice, and they still saw some bees. A neighbor across the street was weeding their garden, and I said, teasing them, "You're a little late on that, aren't you? Because they usually keep on top of it." And she said, "Well, you know, there was a nest of bees here, and so I didn't want to come out until they were gone." At our house, on either side of the door, there's aluminum trim, and part of it, I think to strengthen it, maybe for appearance, it's a V-shape. Well, when it was installed, the top of that V and the bottom were never plugged off. And there were bees in there. And so finally, I mean, I sprayed and sprayed and sprayed. Finally, I caulked it. But the bees kept coming back. I'm thinking the queen was in there. But they kept coming back. And then I saw them going up the bottom hole. Okay? And so I couldn't caulk. It's not enough room to get a caulking gun in at that angle. So I just stuffed it with tissue and a piece of duct tape. They still came to it. I sprayed and they still came to it. Now, I think I didn't see any there today. Bees this year appear to be a problem, or at least with the people that I know. And you see what it says? They compassed his enemy, the nations, compassed me about like bees. Have you ever gotten into a pack of bees and how they fly all around you? And you wait, you know, flail and try and hit them away, and they just all over you. Yeah. And then he goes on and he says, they are quenched, that is the enemies that are like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns. You take a bunch of thorns, briars, and you set them on fire, and they crackle and burn fast and furiously, but consumed quickly. And that's what he's saying has happened here. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Psalm 18. Keep your place in 118, but now go to 18. I want you to see verse 34. This is called the military psalm, the warrior psalm, called by various things. My brother, the church he attends, he used to be in charge of a ministry that kept touch with the 20-some military people that were from that church, obviously a rather large church. And he had a military ministry, and he was the first one to call this to my attention. And Psalm 18, verse 34, where David says, "He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms." God gives him strength. "Thou hast also given me a shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." And he goes on and describes
how he would be in battle and his feet wouldn't slip. He pursued his enemy. He overtook them. You notice verse 34. He, God, teaches my hands to war. That's why David could say, I will destroy them, I'll destroy them, I'll destroy them. Now we got a problem today. Even in many proclaimed Bible teaching churches, there are too many people, not all, thank God, but too many people who will view God by their concept of God, by what they would like God to be, and they cannot understand a Psalm 18, verse 34, he maketh my hands to war. Because in their concept, God is only peace. He would never cause war or hurt or harm. It's the same kind of thinking that leads people to ask why God allows disease, sickness, accidents, anything that is against what they consider to be good. Such do not ask, what have these nations done that caused David to destroy them? What is it that people have done that caused them to have the troubles and the tragedies that they do? Not always, but many times it's the sin they've been in. Why was he in that accident? Well, couldn't have anything to do with the bar he just came from, could it? Yeah, you see, we come up with an idea of what God is like and ought to be like, and when the Bible doesn't conform to that, we'll just shut it out. Shut it out. Pat, what was it this week you were reading and you told me that about it had to do with a nephew, I think, and the Bible versions. Remember, and you said that, so they just use another version. Can you remember that enough to explain it? Okay. I can't give you more. That's all I know. That's why I look to you. That's right. And he said, she confronted him one time about what the Bible said. And he says, well, my Bible doesn't say that. And his doesn't. He uses, I don't know what modern version. And probably the latest darling of the versions, but that's what he uses. And his doesn't say anything against homosexuality. But it isn't because the Bible doesn't have it. It's because his concept of God doesn't have it. And the one who wrote that version, their concept of God didn't have a God who spoke against homosexuality and therefore could say that. Now, does that make us enemies of people who are homosexual? No. It should give us a compassion for them. For they're lost, just like every other sinner is lost. And they need the Savior. Do we like their lifestyle? No, we hate it. The same as we hate the drunkard's lifestyle. The same as we hate the thief's lifestyle. But there's some sins that we, who ought to know better, categorize as more sinful than some others. Okay? And because that's the case. Now, there are some that have greater social consequences. There are some that are maybe more despicable in their outcomes.
You know what you don't even hear regarding the subject of homosexuality today anymore? You know, I don't remember the last time I ever read of it. But the problem, this one of the things that we ought to be against homosexuality because of is because the actual lifestyle and the perversion of it, what it brings to people.
Right.
But whenever you say about the outcome, well, homosexuals, they have multiple partners. You know what they're going to come back at you with? Well, so do a lot of straight people. And they're right, aren't they?
Yep.
Sure they are. But as a result of their multiple partners, and because of how they practice sex, they not only have the perversion of STDs that straight people can have with their multiple partners, but they have additional diseases.
That's right.
But see, I don't remember the last time, even in a Christian expose of homosexuality, that I've heard that. You have to go back. You refer to the 70s. We don't have to go back that far. But we've got to go back to the 90s that I remember being able to read about why this is so despicable. Because of the practices. Unfit, you know, it would be unfit to give any kind of descriptions here in the group. But I'm telling you, this is a lot of what is being dealt with. But you see, people have their own concept of God and what God likes or doesn't like. And you always find that their concept of God matches them. Okay? If they think homosexuality is okay, their God thinks it. If their concept is that... You know, some things for entertainment are okay. Well, then their God doesn't find anything wrong with that. A person's concept of God really reveals them.
That's right.
That's true for us too,
yes,
huh?
Yep.
Our concept of God reveals us.
Sure.
All right. Now, verse 13. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. That is, his enemies have thrust sore, strongly, sore, exceptionally, strongly at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. His enemy came at him, but the Lord helped him. And that's a good thing for us to remember. When the enemies come at us, whether it be a person, and many times it's just the circumstances that we live with, but when they come at us strong, we need to remember the end of verse 13. The Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. You know that word song isn't just thrown in there as filler. The Lord is my strength. Okay? And has become my salvation. That in itself would be significant, wouldn't it? But God says, and song. Because when God works for us, we have something worth singing about. The voice, verse 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. Now, do you notice tabernacles there is plural? So it's not talking about the tabernacle, singular, which was the dwelling place of God for the nation Israel as they wandered and until they built the temple. This is plural. This is the tabernacles of the righteous. Tabernacles meaning a dwelling place, just as the tabernacle, capital T, okay, the tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. So here we find the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents, if you please, of the righteous. In the dwelling place of the righteous is where there is rejoicing and the salvation that God provides. Now look at the next, the next phrase. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Three times he talks about the right hand. The right hand is an indication of a place of favor. The right hand is considered a place of strength. Sorry for those of you who are left-handed. But the right hand is considered the place of strength. And it's a commonly used saying, not only in the Bible, but you'll find it in other writings of history about the right hand. And verse 17, I shall not die, but live. See, his enemies against him, swarming all over him like bees. The Lord is his strength, but it's because the Lord is his strength doesn't mean that he's not in battle. Doesn't mean that he is not facing perplexing situations in life. Just because God is for us and on our side and fighting for us doesn't mean that it's not going to be, that it's going to be difficult for us. Okay? I don't know where I was going with what I was trying to say there. But, you know, sometimes I'm afraid we get there, and I have to struggle with this myself. And that is, that if God's working for me, oh, how come it's going so hard for me? You know, I think somehow that if God's working for me, I'm not going to have any, it's going to be easy. Doesn't work that way. That's a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. But here again, between the head and the heart, between what we know and how we feel, sometimes there's a big difference. And we can sit and whine about it, but we'd be better off to just go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I don't understand. I'm having a problem with this. Help me. Help me understand it. Help me to deal with it. But maybe our concept of ourself doesn't fit with that kind of admission. If our concept of ourself, I talked about God's concept before, but if our concept of ourself is that we're a pretty good Christian, as a matter of fact, we're really pretty strong. And we know we're pretty strong because we can find a lot of other people that are weaker than us. And see, I'm stronger than them. And so our concept of ourselves many times won't allow us to go to God in prayer and say, God, I'm struggling with how you're answering my prayer. Are you answering? Help me with this. Help me to understand it. I don't want my faith to falter. We need to go to Him the way we want when our kids were young, and even as adults, the way we want them to come to us and talk to us. Why? So we can help them. And that's why God would want us to go to Him with those kind of thoughts and feelings. That's not a denial of your faith. That's an admission of a need for your God. That is in itself an evidence of faith. David says, verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Was he feeling that way all the time? No. But his confidence was in the Lord. He said, put not your confidence in men, but in God. And that's what he is demonstrating in verse 17. He says, the Lord hath chastened me sore. Up there further, he was talking about He used the word sore, verse 13, thou hast thrust sore at me, his enemies. Now he is saying in verse 18, the Lord hath chastened me sore. So he's getting it from his enemies, and now he's saying God has chastened him sore, that is exceptionally or hard. You know, this poor guy, man, his enemies are at him, and now he's saying God is at him? Yeah, but God's at him for good. God is at him for good, and that's something we have to. And again, I know when you're in the midst of a problem, that is not how you feel and see things. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn to it if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 32. What? Oh, yeah, okay. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Why would the Lord chasten us? Doesn't he know I'm trying to love him? Doesn't he know I'm struggling with this? Doesn't he know? Yeah, but look, read the rest of the verse. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, comma, that we should not be condemned with the world. God is trying to spare us from the harshness and the difficulties that the world can bring to us. And he is keeping us from condemnation. That's why he chastens us. Now go back to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, verse 13. Now note temptation is, oh, by the way, temptation here is used for testing. You see, a temptation has two approaches. From the devil's side, it's to defeat you. From God's side, it's to test you. There hath no... I'm going to read it with testing. There hath no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, what you're experiencing, other people have experienced. Amen. So if you want to pity party yourself, then at least be honest in it. but you are not the only one that has ever experienced what you're experiencing. You are not even the only Christian that has ever experienced what you're experiencing. But that's, the verse says more. There hath no temptation, testing taken you, but such as is common to man. Here's the important part. But God is faithful. Well, if he's faithful, why doesn't he take it away? Because you need it to keep you from being condemned. It's what he just told us back in chapter 10. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You are able to bear whatever it is that God is letting come to you. When he lets it come to me, do I feel that way? No, I don't feel that way. I feel like I'm about ready to be done in. And you know what? I might be done in. I'll show you that here in a little bit. Will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God, show me the escape route that you may be able to bear it. You can't bear it alone. I can't bear it alone. But if we pray, God, show me the way of escape. Now, you must go to Hebrews, and then we've got to go to prayer. Hebrews. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. In other words, we're not saying you ought to be happy about being chastened. As a matter of fact, God says it's grievous. Nevertheless, in other words, that isn't the end of the story. Nevertheless, afterward, after the chastening, after the testing. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now there's no period there. Do you notice that? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Look at it. Unto them which are exercised thereby. If you fight against it, if you don't give in to the Lord for Him to achieve what He's allowed it to come for, if you will not be exercised by it, it will not produce a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So now you look back on your life at the times when you've been tested, when you've been tempted, and when you didn't yield to God, when you didn't ask God to help, And you look back and you can't see any good outcome of that. Well, it's probably because you weren't allowing yourself to be exercised. And as a result, you didn't get the benefit. My wife, when she was able to, exercised. She got the benefit. She had me go along for a walk one time in the country road we lived on. And she said, "See them?" I said, "See what?" She said, "Them flowers, aren't they pretty?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And she said, "Smell that?" "Smell what?" "Well, it was the flowers and the wild plants." And we got back and she said, "Oh, I feel so invigorated." "Do you feel invigorated?" I said, "No, I feel tired and sweaty." Now, you know what? She got the benefit of the exercise. Did I? No. And so when God allows us to be chastened, maybe even brings chastening to us, if we yield to it, if we cooperate with God, if we ask God what He's wanting to do, we will have the peaceable, oh, it doesn't just say a peaceable feeling. The peaceable fruit. There are things that will be produced in our life that will be of righteousness. And David, back in Psalm 118, talks about living in righteousness. Verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness." Verse 20, "This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." Yeah, I was hoping I'd finish Psalm 118 tonight. I had an idea I wouldn't. We'll finish it next week. But this is what God wants to do for us. And He will do it for us. And when you don't understand and when it's hard to get with His program, just talk to Him that way. Just tell Him that. And He will, just like if your child would only come to you and ask or express to you so that you could do it. Now, you know, you can go to your child and you know what's going on with them. And so you can go to your child, and probably have already, and say, "Now look, I know this is what blah, 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 blah." It won't work, will it? Until they want your input. So God can do many things for us and to us, but until we want His input, He's not going to do any good. Father in heaven, meet with us as we intercede for others in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What's that?
The missionaries for tonight is the Gambia.